IVM.
Hello, welcome to the Sponge Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about Chapter 17, A New Business Pitch That Wasn't Quite. With me, as always, is Ambi Parmeshwar. Obviously, it's his book, but hi, Ambi.
Hello, good to be back.
Yes, yes. So, you know what? Let's get right into it, right? A New Business Pitch That Wasn't Quite. And I mean, like, you know, you start off the chapter with a really interesting story about how you first met Pradeepto Mohapatra. How did you set that? How did that get set up? What happened over there?
Let's talk about that. This is around, I think, 1989 or 90, you know, I, for some strange reason, I decided to base myself in Chennai and look after the southern operations of Ulka Advertising. And their southern operations were in tatters, except for one branch in Cochin, which was somewhat profitable, or the other two in Hyderabad and Bangalore were very badly off. And I said, I'll base myself in Chennai, try and set up the Chennai office, but also try and sort out the rest of the, you know, southern offices of Ulka. So I was based in Chennai. I had a small little office, maybe one, I think we had one secretary and one account executive or something like that. It was a very small office. And on a flight from Chennai to Bangalore, I bumped into an old friend, Chinan Das, who was the head of Times of India for the southern region based in Chennai. So he, you know, I knew him from my account executive days. I knew him from 1979. So he said, Ambi, what are you doing? I said, no, I've now come back into advertising and I'm based in Chennai. So he said, what accounts are you handling? I said, no, in Chennai, I have pretty much nothing, but I'm, you know, kind of running around Hyderabad, Bangalore, sorting some things out. So then he said, yeah, Ambi, there is this fantastic guy who's moved to Chennai, you know. He's come to take over the Spencer's, you know, the department store in Chennai, and he's part of the RPG group, and, you know, you should meet him. So I said, look, I don't know him, so how do I go and meet him? He said, no, next week, are you in town? I said, yeah, I'm in town. So he said, okay, let me set up. So I think the next, weekday, I think Wednesday or Thursday, I get a call from Chinan saying, look, come to Connemara Hotel, bar, and, you know, Pradeepta is coming, and I want you to meet him. So I landed up there at 7 or 7.30. Chinan was already there talking to Pradeepto Mohapatra. I said hello to Pradeepto Mohapatra. Chinan introduced me, saying, you know, Ambi is an old friend. We've known each other for more than 10 years. And Chinan has a way with words. So he praised me to the skies. You know, he's a great guy. You know, he's worked in advertising, worked in marketing, this, that. And he told, you know, Pradeepto, you'll love meeting this guy. So I said, yeah, thanks. And then Chinan left. Right. So I was left with Pradeepto. So Pradeepto, I'd not met him before. And so we started talking. And Pradeepto was telling me about his career, what all he's done, worked with Dunlop, and then moved the Dunlop. Then, you know, Chabria's and RPG's had bought Dunlop together, and then they separated. So when they separated, Pradeepto moved with RPG, and RPG had just acquired the Spencer asset in Chennai. He moved to, you know, kind of look after it and set it up. And he was telling me that. And I told him about my career, where I'd worked before, advertising, then marketing, and, you know, brand management and all that stuff. So, you know, it was a very easy flowing conversation. And Pradeepto is a great one to tell interesting stories. So he kept telling us stories about working in, you know, what's the difference between working in a multinational and a Babu company, and how you need to manage the various things. And so I think the conversation lasted probably 2 hours. And never in that 2 hour conversation did I tell Pradeepto, you know, I want his business.
Right.
And never did he openly question me about what capacities do you have, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the 2 hour conversation, so he said, Ambi, wonderful, you know, meeting you. And I know you are with Ulka, and Ulka does some work with the RPG group in Bombay. I know my Bombay colleagues speak highly of your agency. So would you like to handle our business?
That's a good end of the meeting.
Yeah. So now that's, you know, that I didn't expect it to happen that fast.
Right.
I would have probably expected him to come and make a presentation. So I asked Pradeepta, you know, pretty naively, saying, you know, Pradipta, you know, I am literally a one-man operation here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have a big office. I don't have a big, you know, large number of people. I operate with a few freelancers. And if there's anything big, then I, you know, ask my Bombay office to help. So he said, no, that's okay.
Mm.
You'll be available for me, right?
Right.
So I said, yeah, you know, whenever you want me, I'll be available. Mm. I said, he said, that's it. You know, I mean, I just need, and he said, look, where will I get a guy like you in a city like Chennai to work on my business?
Mm.
Right? I'm not a big company. I'm not an MRF. I'm not a big advertiser. I'm going to be a small advertiser and it'll be great. He said, so what can you guarantee? I said, I guarantee that whenever you call me, I'm there.
Right. Right?
I'll meet you. So, you know, the conversation lasted 2 hours and he said, okay, so shall we start tomorrow?
Okay.
So I said, okay, what time? He said, 9:30. Well, let's have a first chat tomorrow. I'll tell you what my plans are and then you can tell me how you can help. So I said, great. So I think it was 1990, 1991. Next day morning, I went, shook hands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we even had a formal agreement or something. I think he gave me a one-line letter saying, we appoint you as the agency. And that's it. We started working with Pradipto and the Spencer's, you know, retail operation. So never have I had the occasion of having I think Pradipto picked up the tab.
Right, okay.
Even the two drinks I had.
That's kind of the opposite of what normally happens. Yeah,
I didn't even realize, but he had signaled the steward and, you know, they put it on his tab and we walked out. So I got the business on a platter and in a sense, that was probably the first significant piece of business which we got in Chennai.
Right.
I mean, the agency continues to have an office in Chennai. They work with a lot of good companies in Chennai. But I think it all started with Pradipto. And I am deeply grateful to him for the kind of trust which he endowed in me. And I think that's a skill that, mm-hmm. you know, you can actually sit and have a conversation with someone. And at the end of which you formed a very good impression of what the guy is.
So that's an interesting point of view, actually, or an interesting thing that leads me to a question, right? So essentially what you're talking about here is, you know, I mean, like what we would call a soft sell. So my question is, when a soft sell is in progress, do you realize it's in progress? Is it a conscious activity? Is it an unconscious activity? What degree of intentionality is there in something like that?
Well, when a soft sell is happening, I think both the parties know there is a soft sell going on. Okay. It's a bit like wooing, right? When you know, having your, you know, taking a girl out for dinner, you know, what's going on, right? But in this case, both of us knew that he was evaluating me and I was, in a sense, evaluating him. But what was surprising was at the end of which he said, you know, come on, partner, we are together in this together. And he shook my hand and he said, come tomorrow and take the brief. Now, that was a bit of a surprise.
Right.
You know? I mean, I would have expected, okay, great, I've got to know you now. Come and make a presentation to me on what you can do, blah, 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 and then I'll do an evaluation. No, I mean, he said, yeah, we are on.
Mm.
So I think that was a bit of a pleasant surprise at the end of that conversation. Yeah.
Right. Interesting. So you went to him once again, right, when you were leaving FCB Ulka and you were going to go into consulting on your own. You said that you went to him to get suggestions on how you should go about the CEO coaching thing that you were thinking of doing.
Oh, yeah. So, I wasn't, after that early, I worked closely with Pradipto for probably 5-6 years. And then I moved to Bombay and my local team used to work with him. And then for various reasons, we parted company. The agency stopped working with the group. But, you know, I used to meet him at airports. In fact, strangely, once I bumped into him in the Frankfurt airport, right? But other than that, there was no formal connection between me and him. And when I was getting out of Ulka from a full-time job and I was kind of looking at various things to do, one of the things which a dear friend suggested, I think I've written about it, you know, Dasharath Raman, who's ITC, suggested to me that, Ambi, you should get certified yourself as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I told Dash, look, Dash, I mean, you worked in big companies. You worked in ITC, you worked in Heinz, you worked in big, big companies. No, I worked basically in advertising. You know, how can I be an executive coach? So he said, no, you've got exposure to different industries. So it's you can be a good coach. And then he said, yaar, anyway, why are you talking to me? Go talk to Pradipto.
Right.
So I said, what? He said, yeah, Coaching Foundation of India is set up by Pradipto. You know him well. You know him for years. So why don't you meet him and take his inputs on whether you should do it.
Right.
And with you, he'll be straight. He said, yeah, I know he'll be straight with me. So I called up Pradipto and Pradipto said, I'm going to be coming to Bombay next month. I'll meet you. And for some strange reason, I didn't hear from Pradipto, quite unlike. And then 2 months later, I was in Chennai and I And I called him and he came on the line and he said, look, you know, sorry, I didn't keep in touch with you, but how long are you in Chennai? I said, look, I'm in Chennai for another 4 days. So he said, no, can you come home for a cup of coffee tomorrow? So I said, okay. So I went to his house and I walk in and here is Pradipto wearing a pair of shorts and t-shirt and he was looking very thin. He had lost a lot of his hair and I knew he was going through. Then he told me that he was going through chemo and but he was recovering. And I said, look, I didn't want to trouble you. He said, no, I'm okay. And then he made me sit down and we had a cup of coffee and we had a long conversation. And then and he told me that told me about coaching and he asked me, what do I want to do? So I told him I want to do basically teaching and brand consulting and brand coaching. So he said, that's a good idea. Do coaching certification, take some of the principles of coaching into your brand consulting thing. Mm-hmm. It should work. And then he told me, you know, that I should talk to Sridhar, who's in Bombay, and take some input from him. So, I mean, so I was convinced that maybe I should do this, you know, coaching certification thing. And one of the hidden reason which I did is that I would again get to deal with Pradipto. Mm. So I enrolled and I went through that 2-week immersion program and Pradipto came and by then he had fully recovered.
Okay.
He came and took several sessions for us. And you know, Pradipto is always very, very nattily dressed.
Right.
You know, and he wears fabulous watches and, you know, he's got a typical, you know, Odia accent creeps in. But other than that, he's very nightly dressed. So he came and took a great, you know, 2-3 great sessions for us. And I was looking forward to spending more time and talking to him. But unfortunately, the thing, Big C came back.
Okay.
And then he passed away, you know.
Too bad. It was sad.
Later. So I lost a good friend. I was hoping to spend more time with him. But Pradipto was a rare animal, and I mean he was extremely sensitive in a way he understood people, and I think we really lost a great guy.
Yeah, so, you know, I kind of that's sad. You know what I did want to kind of dive into a little bit is I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about what CEO coaching and what brand consulting is, because I don't think we've ever spoken about that at all on this podcast yet. And I think that there might be a little bit of interest from people to understand, like, how do you see those two things and what are they, right? I mean, like, how do you kind of do that?
So, okay, brand consulting is pretty straightforward. Right. I mean, client has a brand. He's wondering, you know, what is he doing? Is he doing right? How can the brand become stronger, mm-hmm. better? So they bring on board a brand consultant who sits with the team, works with the team, mm-hmm. And puts in some processes, gets some research done, etc., etc. Coaching is something relatively new to the country,
right.
Especially what we call executive coaching, which is CEO coaching, executive coaching, C-level coaching. Mm-hmm. This is somewhat new to the country. In America, it's pretty standard. In fact, many companies say that once you reach a particular grade, the company will give you a coach.
And okay.
So coaching, mentoring are things which are used very loosely, interchangeably, but ideally a mentor is someone within your company whom you can go to for help and advice.
Right.
It may not be your boss. It may be your boss, but it may not be your boss.
Right.
Coach invariably needs to be someone outside whom you can talk to. So the coach doesn't tell you what to do.
Right.
He, at least in CFI, Coaching Foundation India, all our, you know, certified coaches are all people who have worked at very senior level in companies. So CFI only picks up, you know, senior people for certification. So what we do is try and understand, try and get comfortable with the coachee. Mm-hmm. So the coachee have to have, it's like a patient-client relationship.
Right.
The coachee should be able to talk anything to the coach. Mm-hmm. The coach first listens and then the coach then starts questioning and the coach may redirect. The coach actually has job is to help the coachee put down what are his development goals, what does he see as a problem, and how does he overcome that.
Okay.
So in a sense, pretty much like a sports coach, right?
Right.
Or a swimming coach. So
right.
He says, look, a swimming coach can't get into the pool and swim with you. Mm. He can't. Right? He has to tell you your hand movement is not okay. Mm. You're lifting your head too high. Keep your head down. You move your legs better, you know. So the same thing. The coach then tells you, look, you need to build your relationship. What are you doing about that?
Right.
You know, so that's what we do. We hold a mirror.
Okay.
To the coachee. And then we tell the coachee, these are the three things which you need to do.
Right.
And we'll meet every month.
Okay.
To review what progress you're making. For example, this coachee, you know, senior executive in a company, his biggest problem was he was not he had an issue with, you know, one of his senior directors.
Okay.
So as we start discussing, that is a problem.
Hmm.
So how do you fix that? So then every month we used to discuss that. What have we done to fix it?
Hmm.
And then he made progress, you know, on that. So you may find out something, you know, which is the issue, which may be obvious to you, but to the coachee, it is not so obvious.
Right.
And then you get the coachee to work on that.
Interesting. So, you know, in the earlier parts of your chapter, you discuss a little bit about, especially when you're talking about Pradipto, you are discussing personality tests like Myers-Briggs. And let's talk a little bit about that. But before we get into that more detail, do you use tools like this in your existing business? In the coaching and in that?
In the
executive coaching area, do you use these kinds of personality tests? And do you use them in shorthand?
We do. We have a VAYA test, VAYA 23 strengths test, which we use, standard that we use with everyone, every coachee almost. Myers-Briggs, there are varieties of Myers-Briggs available. Mm-hmm. Myers-Briggs is really a personality indicator.
Mm-hmm.
So there are four dimensions. So there is either how do you go about taking decisions?
Right.
So you can be extrovert or introvert.
Right.
Or you can be sensing or intuition.
Right.
You can be thinking or feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be judging or perceiving.
Mm-hmm.
So people who are used to the Myers-Briggs testing, which is MBTI,
right,
have acronym for all this. Like,
yes,
you know, he's a ENTJ type or he's a ETFB type. So ENTJ is an extrovert, sensing, thinking, judging type.
Okay.
Most managers fall into that. They're more into thinking than perceiving.
Right.
They're more into judging than perceiving. They're more into thinking than feeling. They're more into sensing than intuition. And they're mostly extroverts.
Correct.
So Pradipto, interestingly, I think, was extrovert.
Oh.
But intuition, feeling, and perceiving.
Interesting. Okay.
So he was an art collector. He was, you know, into finer things and all. So he was very much into a different kind of a style of a manager, which was interesting.
Right.
So we use MBTI. Oh. We used VAYA strengths.
Okay.
So these are standard things. But as they say, all this needs to be taken in. None of this is cast in stone.
Right. It's a tool, not a guide.
It's just an indicator.
Yeah.
You may say that, you know, these are only indicators to what areas you need to look at in order to develop.
Right.
But there's no point. I mean, today MBTI, a free version of MBTI is available.
Yes, I've seen those.
And it's easy to do.
It calls me NBTJ, which I don't think makes much sense.
No, you're probably ENTJ.
Yeah, sorry, ENTJ. So yeah. I'm not an extrovert. So, I mean, like, first off, that seems wrong to me.
Yeah, that seems wrong to you, but that's what the test says, right? So you better believe it.
Okay, I guess so. So my main takeaway from this chapter, right? I mean, like, as I was going through the chapter, is that business is about relationships, right? I mean, like, if you want to kind of succeed in businesses, you have to nurture certain relationships. What would your thought on that be? I mean, like, do you think that I'm right in that contention about this chapter and just broadly?
100%. I think, every relationship, business relationship or even outside, is based on some rational and some emotional issues, right? And one of the big things I learned dealing with someone like Pradipto is that how can you have, in coaching we have this what is called powerful conversation,
right?
So how can you have a powerful conversation with a person and at the end you pretty much know what the guy is like, you know, and it's not too difficult.
Right.
So you can spend an hour with someone at the end, you know, all CEOs, all senior executives have that skill, right? So you can actually meet a guy, spend an hour with him or her, and then pretty much know whether you can trust the person.
Yeah.
So I think that's the great skill. And I think if you want to be successful in business, in entrepreneurship, you know, you need to develop an ability to sense a person.
You need to figure reliability needs to come into, you should be able to tell that.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
that's true.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Cool. That's it. Yeah.
Awesome. Excellent. So I think that's a great place to stop this chapter. And we'll be back next week with the next chapter, which is the story behind a logo. And thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.